Blog Talk Radio.
Robert Richards IV, the DuPont heir of the billionaire DuPont family, admits he sexually abuses his three-year-old little girl after she claims he raped her in multiple rooms of their mansion at the tender age of just 3 years old. But tonight, even after the DuPont family heir confesses he admits he rapes the three-year-old girl, he gets straight probation. The judge, Judge Jan Jordan, says the 6'4", 280-pound Hulk, quote, wouldn't fare well in jail. Well, you know what, Judge Jordan? You need to be thrown off the bench. And the DuPont heir, Robert Richards IV, you need to go to jail. And while we're at it, the Delaware Attorney General Beau Biden, that's Vice President Joe Biden's son, is the Delaware Attorney General. This happened on your watch, man. You brought these charges claiming you're going to crack down on child predators, and tonight a rich man walks free after he admits he raped his three-year-old little girl.
A Massachusetts teen was accused of raping two classmates, and now he is going to serve probation. Just probation. His name is David Becker. And this is what happened. Let me read it to you and then we'll discuss it. I know a lot of you will probably be a little outraged. It's hard. It's hard to read sometimes. An 18-year-old Massachusetts man accused of raping and sexually assaulting two unconscious classmates back in April will now serve just 2 years of probation. The case against David Becker was continued without a finding in Palmer District Court last week. The case will be dismissed if Becker complies with the probation. Now, Becker's lawyer says his client can now look forward to a productive life without being burdened with the stigma of having to register as a sex offender. Well, that's great. That's great for David, who can lead a normal life.
Owen LaBrie walked into court on his own, and when it ended, he was hugging his mother, free to go, at least for now. He was sentenced to a year in the House of Correction and up to 3 years probation. The judge said the sex was not consensual.
She was in over her head. And that's very clear.
LaBrie is now 20. He was convicted in a case that exposed a tradition at his exclusive Concord prep school where senior boys compete for sex with younger students. The victim appeared on tape. We've distorted her voice.
And no amount of cleansing or showering will ever make me clean again. One of the most painful things for me to deal with every day is that I will never understand why the offender raped me.
LaBrie's crude words and text messages spit back at him by the victim's father, who said she was
selected by Owen LaBrie and his cohorts as a high-value target in the twisted competition for top slaymaker, and then raped.
The defense gave the judge character letters for LaBrie and insisted the act was consensual. The victim's mother told the judge,
"We no longer see good in the world as a natural part of our lives, but instead have witnessed evil."
6 months in jail for raping a girl in a rape that was so appalling that two of his fellow students had to pull him off of her. And by the way, thank God for those bystanders. Those two people are heroes. But this is disgusting. Nobody should be making apologies for this young man. He should be getting, I would say, at least 5 to 10 years for what he did.
Well, he could have been up to 14 years. He could have been locked up that long. The prosecutor asked for 6. Ultimately, he got 6 plus probation. Bradford, what was the judge thinking here? He's certainly been excoriated in social media.
Yeah, I don't like to put myself in the judge's shoes because I don't know all the facts and circumstances. We know what we read, we know what we've heard on TV and what we've read in the newspapers, but we weren't actually there in the courtroom. We don't know what evidence was presented, how they testified, what they testified about. Certainly there was other incidents in terms of things that the court would consider, you know, that he is a young man, he is bright. He has all these opportunities in life, and this was something that was just a horrible, horrible thing that happened. And it goes to really examine the college culture of this. You know, everyone's getting drunk on the weekends,
yeah.
And I don't want to blame it on that, but certainly you can see on both parties why alcohol plays such a huge role in this, and now two lives are really ruined. And I understand where this situation is from, but we weren't sitting in that courtroom. I don't like to put myself in judge's shoes and
Pat,
say, like,
Lisa, hold on. Pat,
this is what is appropriate.
Pat, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, you want to argue that we were both drunk, whatever, but I'm talking about what kind of message they're sending now in the aftermath of this. This young man is taking absolutely no responsibility, talking about how, well, maybe I can be the poster child for why we shouldn't drink on campus. There's no apology. He even, one of the things that the victim said in the letter that really, really struck me was she said, he gets to write the script. She doesn't get to write any script. And then on top of it, his own father saying, hey, this is a severe punishment for 20 seconds of action. That just shows you the kind of attitude that still permeates in our society today, that nobody understands the wrongness of this even after they're no longer drunk.
It's interesting that...
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Yep, it's Saturday morning. We're about to get on it. Somebody's going to get lit up. It's Saturday morning. We're about to go behind the blue curtain. I'm your host, Stan Mason. Like we say all the time, this is not my show, this is our show. On here, the least have a voice. You can call up here, 646-716-4621. Press 1 so I know you have a question. Get on. You get a chance to say how you feel. Get it out then. Because Lord knows, this stuff is jacked up. It's messed up. I don't know who we got on the course. What's going on, Gerald? Facebook Live crew. Linda. Everybody's in the house. So the Facebook Live crew's got their own show running on the side, and they keep it real over there. So on here, everybody's opinions are welcome. It's not a black show, a white show, an anti-cop show, an anti-black show, anti-white show. On here, it's just real. We're just chewing the fat and keeping it real. We're bringing facts. If your feelings get hurt, don't bring them to the conversation. And once again, good morning. I'm your host, Stan Mason. We're about to go behind the blue curtain. I'm going to send out an apology. First off, you know, I was going to do a show on police training and how we apply it and selectively apply it. But, you know, after looking at it and thinking, and it was on up to about an hour ago, I said, no, I'm going to put that show on the back burner. Today, we're going to talk about all this sexual assault and rape stuff that's going on and the prosecutions and how they're done. And everybody's saying, you know, well, you know, it's okay, it's this and that. But see, the average people can't get in. Even on the call-in shows, y'all can't get in. You call into these shows, they screen you, got my big sister on there. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, Cynthia Mason Posey, she posted something up I didn't know, and it pissed me off. You know, and I mean, she's strong. She's Army strong. So she's coming out real about it. But see, I'm that little brother that was in the basement. I'm that one that you unchained and brought up when stuff got real. You know, I mean, I was probably voted most likely to be in jail, not putting folks in jail. But, you know, she's here, and I'm glad she's here. And, you know, you guys, I mean, I just don't understand what the hell is going on with this country. I really don't. I'm going to say something, though, much like the BS. I'm trying not to cuss so much because some of y'all remarked about the size of the curse jar, but somebody came out good for it. So, you know, the BS that we do, not a dollar yet. I ain't said nothing yet, but yeah, I probably will before this is over, Cynthia. But the BS that we see, and I'm talking about as middle class and poor people, I throw color out the window. For this show, let's just hang color out the window. Let's just hang it out the window and deal with what is. And I mean, I don't care if it's Bill Clinton, Bill Cosby, Kavanaugh, R. Kelly, all of them. You know, all of them. Yeah, you're right, pay it forward because I'm going to light somebody's ass up. Yeah, that's $2. I forgot I said one earlier. But you know, all of them. We have to stop looking at this and getting racially protected first. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sum it up. And, you know, I've got a very diverse following, and a lot of people, you know, tune in, and some of them are very successful people, and they're wealthy people, black or white. And like I said, whatever I got in my bank account when I walked in the front door this morning, it's in there now, so let's go on and put it where the ghosts can get it. You know what? Rich people, y'all been getting over. Big time. your asses need to be brought back to reality. But until we get these old, tired, bought and paid for judges who fall asleep during trials, but everybody's too scared to say, wake your ass up and pay attention. Folks are going to jail because judges want to fall asleep and be halfway and not involved in what's going on. Or they got special interests, or they're bought up, or that's a country club buddy. See, Nancy Grace, y'all can love Nancy Grace or hate Nancy Grace. But I'm going to tell you something. I love Nancy Grace because Nancy Grace will light your ass up. She calls it straight down the line, period, point blank. She don't care who you are. She doesn't care who you are. She's going to call it out. I mean, we look at these rape cases, these rape charges, and everybody says, well, you know, Bill Cosby got all this time and other people got all. Bill Cosby didn't get enough time for me. Period, point blank. That's my personal opinion. Y'all don't have to agree with me. Ain't no hard feelings. I'm just venting right now with me with all the Cosby stuff. I don't have time to worry about Bill Cosby. Because when Bill Cosby was doing I Spy, he was drugging and raping women. When Bill Cosby was doing the Cosby Show and Jell-O pudding commercials, he was drugging and raping women. Okay, when Bill Cosby was a standard by which white folks looked at black folks and said, y'all need to be like them, he was raping women. So thank God more of us aren't like Bill Cosby, okay? And I'm just being real with it. We might as well be real. I'm not going to come out here and blindly support Bill Cosby because he's black. The only difference between Bill Cosby and Jeffrey Dahmer in my book is Bill Cosby didn't kill people, cook them, and eat them. Period, point blank. He's out here raping folks. He's out here drugging folks. And Bill Cosby did not get enough time for me. Well, he's old, and he could very well die in prison if you give him too much time. What about the souls he's killed? What about the spirits he killed? What about the lives he killed, the lights he extinguished? You know, I'm sorry. The law doesn't work that way. We cannot be selectively outraged. We cannot selectively pick and choose. And the same vigor by which I will cast Bill Cosby on the stones, I'll throw Kavanaugh right there with him. Now, don't call up here with your political feelings. Period. This is not about politics. This is about the act. This is about the act. Bill Cosby's wife, who stuck with him through thick and thin, left his ass, so that ought to tell you something. None of y'all slept with Bill Cosby. If you did, you probably don't remember because you ate something or drank something you probably shouldn't have before you woke up. But his wife, Camille, left camp. Go do your research on the last trial. Women in this country get treated like shit, period, point blank. And we sit here as a nation and point our fingers at Saudi Arabia because they make women wear burqas. We want to say, well, these women over here can't vote, so we need to go over and free them and liberate them. And women here can't go to work dressed appropriately because then if one person feels like she's too sexy, the whole office rules get changed. They got to dress around every single man's personality and what he thinks in the office. And then when they do make a complaint, it doesn't mean nothing. Period. And I know that's hard. I know a lot of people, well, I hadn't heard that at all this week. You're damn right you haven't. That's why you're here. Because on here, when you guys call up, let's be real. Let's just go on and get down to it. I don't care about Bill Cosby, Bill Clinton, R. Kelly. All of y'all running around, R. Kelly, oh, I love this. Or R. Kelly is dealing with kids. Most of us have kids. And every man on here, before you disagree vehemently with what I said about Bill Cosby or Judge Kavanaugh or anybody else, the only reason you're here is from a woman, okay? Legs open and you came out. So don't act like you don't have, I don't care, you can be gay, you can be whatever, but you know what, you're here because of a woman. And black folks in particular, when we look at what's happening to women across this country, irregardless of their color, how can we sit back and go, well, it don't concern me. Well, I just think, well, yeah, he probably did it, but he shouldn't have got this much time. They could lock Bill Cosby's ass up till Jesus comes home, and I don't care. Period. Well, he did a lot of good things. That's fine. I'm sure Charles Manson opened the front door for somebody sometime. Donald Trump's not a total ass all the time. He does some good things now and then, whether it's accidental or not. But we want to get hung up with Bill Cosby because of the theatrical things he did. What he gave to the HBCUs, that's fine. That's good. But what was he doing while he was giving to them? See, Jeffrey Dahmer did some nice things sometime, too. But he was cooking folks up in the apartment, in a pot. He had a soup pot bigger than your whole kitchen, cooking people and eating them. John Wayne Gacy made folks laugh. He dressed up like a clown while he was killing them and burying them under the porch. And I'm not saying that Bill Cosby is up on par with these serial killers, but I'm saying as a man, I can't get totally into how I feel about Bill Cosby like a woman can. These women can go to an umpteenth degree on Bill Cosby that most men, we can't understand unless you've been in prison and something has happened to you. You know, I got a brother on here right now, Libra, works with me. We have seen brothers, and when I say brothers, white folks too, with side jobs and half jobs and no jobs, get crucified and hung to the cross for the same thing Bill Cosby got 3 to 10 for. Now, that's some bullshit. If you want to get righteously pissed off, I'm not talking about racially pissed off. See, there's righteous and there's racist. I'm not talking about racially pissed off. I'm talking about righteously pissed off, righteously. You know, if we want to be upset with Bill Cosby getting 3 years, then we can't be upset about the gambit of white folks or privilege that you saw that got off on probation. The only reason Bill got any time because they had to hang something on his ass. Point blank, you all know that. You don't need me to come on here and tell you that. And this show is a hot one. And I want the women to call up, and I want you to say how you feel. You can vent. You got 100% full time. I'm not cutting you. Ain't nobody going to come on here and blast you. And when you say how you feel, if somebody want to deal with you, I'll let you deal with them. That's how we're going to do this here today. And I'm going to go to the big brother up in 804 area called Big Gus. Good morning, Gus. Thank you for calling in, brother. What's going on? Come on.
How you doing, my brother? What a explosive topic today. Man, it's off the chain. But look, man, there's only one issue I have with the trial with Dr. Bill Cosby. I don't like the way, and it's part of the system. It has nothing to do with Bill himself. I don't like if things don't work out in the first trial, the government gets a chance to do it over again. You see, that's the only issue I have. They get to do it over again. Now, just because the prosecutors are incompetent or whatever, does that really mean the government has a chance to try you again? Now, I understand that they come up with different evidence, but if you're using the same evidence and then you get a conviction, to me, that's not, you know, something's wrong with that picture. And it all boils down to, you know, fairness in sentencing. You're exactly right. Bill Cosby should have got more time than what he did. But so should the other guys who rape and drug women and do all that stuff. So, you know, there's a guy who's doing at least 18 years in prison now. Man, he used to play with the New Orleans Saints. And it's from Richmond here, Darren Sharper. Darren Sharper, he is doing prison for doing the same thing Bill Cosby did, and he's doing some time. Mm-hmm. It's all great. I mean, he went to William & Mary right here in town in Williamsburg, and they took all his plaques down. They did all that. So, to me, it all ties into criminal justice reform. Why is there so many different variations of sentences going on for the same crime? I have no idea. But that should change. But again, Bill should be locked up. No matter, you know, his philanthropic stuff that he does, given to HBCUs and all the money that he's given away, still doesn't negate the fact that he drugged women and had sex with them, you know, without them knowing it or whatever. That's a crime, man, and he should pay for his crime. I'm surprised that he only got 3 to 10. I'm surprised.
You know what, Gus? And I want you to come back and weigh in on what I'm about to say. And this is something that I think a lot of us who are educated understand and will go, yeah, this is that boogeyman, you know, that nobody wants to talk about. See, black outrage can either be a positive force, a fuel, or it can be a detriment. And in many instances, when it comes to black people of power, prestige, or position, it becomes a detriment. Now, the reason I say that, let's look at the NFL players and things they've been accused of that's been caught on video. Hell, you know, who was it? Who was the guy that turned into Rocky in the elevator? Ray Rice?
Ray Rice.
Knocked his girlfriend smooth out. Now, if I went out on the streets tonight and a guy did that in a bar, his ass would be in jail forever. Okay? Straight up, point blank. Much less is on video. So, see, we don't get outraged about that. We need to be as outraged about Ray Rice. Nothing personal against him. Hell of a player, all that. But, see, we don't get outraged about that, but we get outraged about one of these rich white folks that gets off. See, that's where my thing is. I don't have that dividing line. Hang everybody's ass out there because I go out there on the streets and watch poor people of all colors get crucified. Just off of, and we, now let's throw in this eight ball. Women, don't get pissed off at me because here it comes. What about all these women that then claim false rape? Black male rape me. Three black males rape me. These brothers go to jail. They go through the court, and then she come out, get caught in a lie. They give her ass 1 or 2 or 3 years, give them, you know, and some probation behind it, let them out and go, our bad. Now let's clean up the whole plate. See, the media's not even talking about that side of it. Why? Because right. You don't ever hear about falsely accused white male. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying we don't hear about it. But in the minute a white woman wants attention and she's going to go down that avenue. So I'm not talking about all white women. I'm saying a white woman that wants to go down that avenue. The suspect is always the black male. Why? Because this judicial system will jump out there and grab the closest one that fits the description. Let's lock his ass up and we'll keep him in there. I'm about $20 in the hole right now in the curse jar, but that's cool. I got some money. I went to the credit union. But let's put his ass in jail. And then if we find out 10, 15, 20 years later he didn't do it, we excuse him, give him some piss-ass pocket change and kick him out the door. Hello, Central Park 5. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that's real talk. Folks don't want that. Now, if we're going to examine the coin, let's get to both sides of it. Let's go on and get to it. You got some bullshit people that will claim rape because they want attention or they cheated on their husband. See, Gus, I'm glad you're here. Let's roll back the script. And some of you haters is here. I know you're waiting on me to make a mistake. Take some notes because we about to get deep. Let's go on back to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hello, Black Wall Street. Why was a whole town burned down? Why were over 300 people killed? Why? Somebody tell me. Because a white woman said that a black man did something to her. They found out centuries later when the town is gone and everybody's displaced, it wasn't true. Now, don't make me go on down there into Florida because Florida, your ass not perfect neither. Let's talk about Rosewood. The same type of scenario. What happened? A whole bunch of dead black people behind a lie. I'm not making this racial. I'm just stating the facts. There are two sides to this coin. So when people say we need to believe everybody all the time, no. Now, I try to be right, but I've been black too long. And I understand that at the core of the blame, the crux of the blame, when we got to hang it on somebody, then you know what? It was a black guy. And God forbid he was light-skinned and about 6'3", and I happen to walk down the street. Guess where I am? That's American justice. And it's historic. Those of you that will say he's full of crap, Rosewood, Florida, Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Google it. Check it out. Come on back, Gus.
That's true. But I think it's a little, again, you know, going back to one of your old shows when I said it's the fear of a black man, and I'm not trying to make it racial. Some people just fear us differently, and they demonize us, put it that way. They demonize us, which in turn makes people react to our situations a little different, and that's what that is. They demonize us. For instance, the young lady in South Carolina that a couple years ago that drowned her children and said a black man did it, the sheriff saw through that right away, which I was glad. He saw through that. He's like, nah, this don't sound right. But the country was in an uproar. Oh, some black guy snatched her kids and took her kids, which in turn she drowned them. That's like adding an urgency to the case, as it may be. If you say a black guy did it, then that means they will look harder, or that gives them an open open book to just stop everyone, a free hand to stop everyone and check everybody out who is of color, no matter what their size is. So, yes, that's an issue.
Sure, but in the meantime, well, we got one woman that'll say, I was red, black or white, whatever color, two black guys did it. You got Jeffrey Dahmer cooking up people in the kitchen, serving them up with salad, croutons, side dish, and like old boy said in that movie, and a nice Chianti. You know, I mean, let's look at, if we go in America, let's look at the history of serial rapists in America. I didn't write this history. Go on and pull it up. Don't get mad at Stan Mason or Officer Mason. Don't go run and complain on me. He was being divisive on his show. Guess what? This is the house that Jack built. There's only one sponsor on this show, and that's me, on purpose. So I'm going to say what I want to say so ain't nobody, they can get mad. They don't have to tune in. I'm sure Mr. Rogers got a show somewhere on Blog Talk, somewhere people can go, but Saturday mornings, when you come here, it's real. You're not safe because you're black or white. We're going to keep it real. Now, if we want to get all concerned about sexual assaults and sexual contact and sexual rapists, hell, let's go down through American history, and that'll tell you where to start looking. Stop looking for the lost duck in the jungle when you need to be looking for the lions that have been hunting there for years. Do we have to stop selectively prosecuting cases and investigating cases with that sunshade when it gets too close to home? We wonder, well, it could be him. I just don't know. It just doesn't feel right. Huh? Huh? The man's got a pot in his kitchen with three skeletons in it. What are you talking about? And middle-class people are sitting there looking at these people like they're fools. Poor people who may not have the education and don't know any better still know something's not right. Still know it. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
No, you're good. And it's funny, too, man, because they look at, you know, if you have privilege, and that's the issue. If you have privilege, or you come from a certain side of the railroad tracks, as they say, it seems like the criminal justice system is more lean towards helping you, as opposed to helping someone on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. And you know, that's the American criminal justice system. And you know, the thing is, when we get into this arena, it doesn't even care about color. Because for all the white boys, rich white boys, always get off. They, all right, holler at me about R. Kelly. Huh?
Right.
Anybody with that many allegations? And you still dancing to his music? Is he singing to you to sing into your baby's ear, or is he singing to that child? You all know what's going on out there. You know the stories. But see, we can't be so forgiving and so circumspect. I'm just not sure. It hasn't been proven, but we'll take a rumor on a white guy and we'll run that shit into the ground. He's guilty. He did it. He had five goats in there and a sacrificial altar. I seen it. Somebody told me I saw a video, but when it comes down to us, see, that's my thing. We cannot be selectively outraged and then point our fingers across the aisle. That's one of the reasons why all this mess doesn't get cleaned up. Because black folks pick a side and defend their side and defend the perpetrators. And white folks are doing the same thing. Instead of looking at the act, and in between us being racially righteous and them being racially righteous, in the middle is this person called a victim that neither side is willing to understand. And that's why we can't get any clarity here. Y'all are crucifying these rich folks like you're crucifying these poor folks. Period, point blank. And if they're in a public office, damn it, if the Congress won't do their job and impeach them, then stop voting for them. Light their ass up, not just when it's a month before election. You ought to be lighting their asses up all year long.
Amen.
Period. But no, I got to watch this, and my show is coming on, and I got to get my nails done. I got to get my hair done, okay? Okay? Because they bank on that. They bank on us having more material things that ain't worth shit to do than to be focused on what's happening to us. You can be poor as hell with pretty nails. Guess what? A good brother with a job ain't trying to see you. You could be one of these brothers that think you hood and gangster with a gold tooth hanging out your mouth, sitting up in the hood, which you can't vote because you got a felony self, talking about what's happening to the black man and what's happening to the black man. You can't even vote. Not trying to educate nobody. Not trying to teach anybody anything. You want to be a soundbite. Yeah. Everybody likes the kitchen till it gets hot. When it gets hot, I live in heat. I work in it all the time. I live in it. And I love it. And the only reason I'm here is because of y'all. It ain't got nothing to do with where I work and all that. It's y'all are the only reason I'm here.
Right on.
That's the fact. You know, and like I said, on here, this real talk on here, when we hit 10 o'clock, ain't no script. I ain't reached out or read nary piece of paper yet. I don't need to because I live this bullshit just like you all do. And when people say, well, don't nobody want to hear me, they're not trying to hear me. You got a cell phone worried about little Kiki, little Cuckoo, and whoever got a CD out. You can call everybody, including folks. You call a wrong number and hold a conversation because you're that lonely. But you won't call up here.
Tell it.
Because I got folks that will call up that might disagree with you. But guess what? When they call up here, they're going to get on just like you got on. And they get to be real just like you get real. I'm sorry, brother. I hate to interrupt you. I get on that rant. Man, I'm about $25 in the hole, man, on the curse jar.
That's okay.
Already,
you know,
man, we ain't
even
30
minutes.
Right. With all y'all on Facebook, there go the first 30 minutes.
You're doing right, man. But I wanted to say also, too, Stan, you know, the hypocrisy and, you know, what's going on with Judge Kavanaugh. And he actually got indignant and, you know, because this it's obvious. We all have skeletons in our closet. But if you were really trying to clear your name, you would let the investigation go through, you know, its course. But what really struck me yesterday, you know, during his testimony, because I watched most of it, they asked him to take, a polygraph test. You know, he's a federal judge. He said they're inadmissible in federal court. They're not reliable. But why do some courts use them? If they're not reliable, why use them? Because they catch some of the people some of the time, but they don't catch everybody. To me, then you'll get a false negative. You know, maybe because you're nervous because everybody's looking at you and asking you questions, it'll send your blood pressure high. So to me, you know, polygraph exams probably shouldn't be admissible in the court. They were hollering about polygraph exams. They love those things, but how are they going to get a machine to tell that if you're lying? You know what I mean? If you're a good liar.
Okay. Here's an inside clue for you, Gus. See, that's why we do this here. Folks get to come here and go, damn, I never thought of that. You know what? Here's an inside clue. You listening?
Yes.
The polygraph is not admissible. But when do they choose to give somebody the polygraph? We want you to take a polygraph. I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to tell you what they are. They're one of three things. They're either black, they're either Hispanic, or they're poor.
Mm.
Now, people say, well, why didn't you include white people? Because the justice system has this ego thing, this embarrassment thing. If you're poor, white, and wrong, they're just going to run roughshod over you. Because what support do you have out here? What are you going to do? Poor White Lives Matter? What group are you going to bring to the table? Advocate for you. Because we have failed to look at these people that may be poor and white, but look at their situation and say their situation is equal to mine. We need to bring them into what we're doing and be one for us. You know, not this crap of they always meet with the black preachers. That's fine. But the black preachers don't speak for black people. They speak for themselves. unless they got a church full of fools that allowed them to go up there and speak for them. That preacher walks in that voting booth like everybody else and casts one ballot. So why you put your faith in one man that goes and meets with people who chances are has not gone through the situation that we're going through? We're looking at a besides Barbara Boxer and a few other people, mostly white males up there doing all the questioning.
Yeah.
And we talk about that ain't right. It shouldn't be right. It wasn't right for Anita Hill, but we're right back at the same thing because we sat on our asses and did nothing. We watched CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox wasn't around and it may have been, but we sat around and we depend on these people to bring us knowledge. If you're poor, you have no butler, okay? What's coming through the bedroom door as dinner, you better wake up your eyes and look at what you're eating because it might not be what you think. I don't care how they brought it to you. Well, they brought it to me, so I guess it's right because you're too lazy to go in the kitchen and find out you don't have food. You might be eating rats, and that's the news that we're eating is rats. They feed us a sound bite. They feed us a Facebook post, and we pick it up, and we run with it because we don't want facts. We want to live in our world of comfort and blame and fear and ignorance and promoting false agendas. We don't want solutions. If we did, women wouldn't constantly be treated like hoes, period. I don't care if the woman makes $2 million a year or $2.50 a week and on snack. They're treating women like hoes, black, white, across the board. See, there's not even a gender thing to this. It's across the board. White women, welcome to the world of blackness, because now you see how you're getting treated in this country. I'm going to say it. I know folks are sitting back going, well, yeah, welcome to the world. You're being taken advantage of. By and large, that's who's up there every time we have these Senate hearings. It's a bunch of white women up there treated like crap, belittled, kicked under the rug. They treated that lady like crap to testify. She was brilliant. That lady was absolutely brilliant. They treated her like crap. And you know what? For the 52% of you white women that voted for Donald Trump, that misogynist who preaches this crap all the time, don't sit back now and feel sorry for the doctor to testify. You're part of the problem. Because you knew the man was a misogynist when you voted his ass in. And then you sit back and want to feel sorry now and put on what they call the pussy hats and all that, because this woman had to go through what she went through. I'm not saying Donald Trump caused what she went through, but I'm saying we knew the allegation that came out of his mouth. He told you he'll grab the women by the hoo-ha, but he used another word that I'm not going to use. And 52% of you went out and voted for him anyway. Now you're shocked that this kind of crap is happening. And I'm not blaming Republicans. It's happening with Democrats, too. That's the bullshit right there. That nobody, you ain't heard what I just said on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and none of them. So you 52% of white women, whoever you are, some of you may still agree with Trump, and that's you. I'm not making the politics. I'm not going to belittle you. But you voted for him. So don't come out here now talk about Me Too and women's rights. Whoa. You just voted for a man who stood up there and sat on a bus. I move on him like a bitch, but she wouldn't let me. He didn't give a damn if the woman was married or not. That's our president, 45. You really think they're going to mess with Kavanaugh when you voted in somebody who would say that on camera and still continue to support him? 52%, I'm talking to you. That's real talk. I'm not trying to get in anybody personally. If you're uncomfortable with your voting decision, that's on you. I'm not here to say Hillary was any better, so don't call up and talk about, well, Hillary, what would Hillary, Hillary wouldn't have raped no man. Hillary wouldn't have been caught on camera saying, grab him by the, you know what. But that's where we're at. And in my opinion, that set a precedent. We have never had this outpouring of sexual misconduct and disrespect for women until after this last election. And y'all know my show. Those of you just tuning in, I don't go political. I usually don't get into all this. But let's just go on and clear the air. Let's just, until we open the windows and let the bad air out, it ain't going to get no better. None of this. We didn't have this until that election and his announcement of how he treats women. Hell, he got a wife don't even want to hold his damn hand on worldwide TV getting off an airplane, pulling away. Now, let's go on to air. I'm not afraid to air Donald's laundry. I'm not afraid to. Folks walking around here kissing the ring, let's go on and get down to it. We're dealing with sexual misconduct, sexual assaults. And what did that man say? He claimed about a sexual assault on a damn bus. He said, I'll grab him by the you-know-what. Until somebody, he grabbed the wrong one, and she got a man there to break something knee-deep off up in him. But then they're going to be Secret Service held down, put in jail, assaulting the president. And they probably go to jail because he's a man with power and privilege and prestige. But I'm going to tell you something. It's good to go into battle sometime with empty pockets. Because when we lock up and I hear something jingle, I don't have to look down because I know I didn't bring no money to the fight because I didn't have none. I can focus on you. That's real talk. And if they're listening from the White House, 646-716-4621, press 1. Big Donnie, I'll put you in the house. Not afraid because I got a whole hell of a lot of callers up here waiting to speak to you about whatever, and I'm not afraid to open the show and or extend it. I'm going to leave your mic open, Gus. Did you want to add anything else in here?
No, I'm good.
All right, brother. I'm going to drop down to the 301 area code. Last 40872. Good morning. You're behind the blue curtain. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning. Come on.
Look, I have a couple issues this morning, obviously. I'm going to start with one thing. And for those of you all that don't know it, this is Stan's big sister. And I opened up a pot of you-know-what this week with my Facebook post, which I'll get to in a second. But I'm going to – and I'm going to send you a Cash App, $20, pay it forward, because I know I'm going to be ugly.
I already got you. Don't worry about it. You big sister, you go do what you do. I got this here. Go ahead, baby. Light them up.
Here's a couple things that I want people to just keep in mind before I go to my Facebook post. The first thing is the things that are happening out here don't just affect us. They're affecting our young people. I have a 7-year-old grandson who said to me, I don't like President Trump. I hate President Trump. Now, I did 30 years in the Army. So we had a long discussion about the need to respect the office, respect not the individual, but the office. And he came back to me and said, but how can I respect him when he doesn't like people that don't look like him? Okay, explain that to me. What do you mean? Well, he doesn't like women. Why would you say that? Because he said he likes to grab women by their private parts. I have no comeback to that. He doesn't like Mexicans. So my first point for the morning is we really have to be vigilant and we have to have conversations with our children because our children are watching the news, fake or real. They read newspapers and they know what's going on. Second issue that I have, our youngest daughter is an entertainer, performer in L.A. When she called me and said, Mom, I'm going to be in an arcade video. All the alarm bells went off. My first questions were, you and who else? And what are you wearing? And you won't be in nobody's video. And this child was grown till you send me a picture of what he has you dressed in. You got to be vigilant. Third thing, I put out a Facebook post this week because this whole Kavanaugh thing has a lot of people who never talked about, never acknowledged the fact that people were being molested and raped. You know, the hashtag is hashtag why I didn't report. That's the national, the worldwide hashtag. And when I put that out, a lot of people came back with, well, you know, these are black folks. Well, Bill Cosby, why Bill Cosby go to jail? And a couple things that we have to remember from a legal judicial standpoint. Number one, Bill Cosby's ass was old. He was old when he did what he did. Ain't no right from wrong. He was old. And in Pennsylvania, the statute of limitations was 12 years for that type of reporting. So do the math in your head, folks. If Bill Cosby just went to jail, found guilty for something that he illegally did within a 12-month period, and this man is 80, that means you had a 70-year-old rapist out there. So, yes, his ass is in jail, and that's a good thing. Okay, and I'm not even going to go into all the mechanics and the image that pops into my head, but she had to have been good in drugs because ain't no way this side of hell. But I'm going to leave that alone. Number two, Kavanaugh. So we really can't compare Kavanaugh to Bill Cosby because what Kavanaugh did is going to be similar to what I'm going to share with you about my Facebook post. That happened years and years and years ago. Outside of any statute of limitations. So we can't go after him legally for that. But what we can go after him for is that in order to sit on the Supreme Court, there is a requirement that you must meet, and he meets neither. So that's where we're going after Kavanaugh. So, we, you know, as a people, as enlightened folks, we have to really keep these kinds of things in our heads. Now, here's things about my post. This whole Kavanaugh nightmare brought up a lot of things in a lot of people, and it made a lot of people start to talk about, report things that they hadn't reported. So my post basically says, it's hashtag why I did not report my story. Until you walked in my shoes, you don't get to ask why I didn't report. I was 14. So many reasons why I didn't report. This person was a student athlete. I won't tell you what sport he played because then well, that would identify him. Very well liked. So, of course, they would have taken his side. They're going to ask if I let him on at school. We talk in 1970, my friends. Back then, the woman was always wrong. What'd you wear? How were you dressed? You know that old, well, if the girl were out blinking and waving, then it's okay that he did what he did because you enticed him. After all, I knew they wouldn't do anything to him. I was a young 14-year-old black girl in the hood. He was a black student athlete. No one cares and still don't care about black-on-black crime. He would have gotten no punishment. It's not like I was raped. We were taught, well, unless you were raped, tell about what? Girl, you'd be okay. Go on. So he touched you. It's okay. They would say it was my fault because what were you doing out after dark? You know, women, we don't have rights. This is like Saudi. You know, oh, okay, yep. Men can go out after dark and nobody questions. But what were you doing out after dark by yourself? The biggest reason I didn't report it, I had a dad who had a gun, who had a temper.
I had
an uncle, Uncle Billy, rest his soul.
Yep.
Uncle Billy would have lit his ass up, and so would his friends. I had younger brothers. This one here, he's telling y'all the truth, because this is the one that would pick up a brick, go after people three times his size, just because he had no filter and didn't think. But I had cousins. I had a cousin who reached out to me after this post and said, why didn't you tell us? You know my brothers would have. Let me tell y'all, that's the reason I didn't. Because I had African-American, black brothers, uncles, cousins who would have whipped that boy's ass to within an inch of his life. And you know what? He'd be in the Patriot News. Oh, what a shame. Look how they beat him. And they'd be in jail. I didn't want that on my conscience. I was 14 in the ninth grade. If you remember being 14 in the ninth grade, your friends were important to you. What would my friends think? What would my neighbors think? How would I look Miss Joe, Miss Betty, Miss Jerry in the eye on my way to and from the school? I don't want people to look at me in that way. More importantly, I was a good girl. And if you came up in the 70s, 60s, you knew what it meant to be a good girl. You kept your legs crossed. You kept your cookie. And if you didn't, it was assumed it was your fault. No one would believe me anyway. And here's what happened. And for those of you that haven't seen it on Facebook, I posted a picture of the location where it happened. One fall evening in 1970, at the age of 14, my mom asked me to walk a half block to the corner store to get a loaf of bread after dark. He was in the narrow walkway and must have seen me pass. On the way back, he grabbed me and forced me into the walkway. I can still feel his hands and his mouth all over me 48 years later. He was a classmate, someone I went to elementary, middle, and high school with, sat two desks away from him in the fourth grade. Successful athlete, probably twice my size. I couldn't fight him off, and I tell you what, after 30 years in the Army, his ass would be sorry if he tried that today. But I was much smarter than he was. I told this fool if I didn't return from the store, my mom would come looking for me or send one of my brothers. I promised I would take the loaf of bread home and meet him back in the walkway. Stupid, stupid, stupid. He let me go. Nothing to gain from identifying him now because he passed away 6 years ago. So God took care of that justice. Now, here's the irony of all this. I posted that because I wanted other young people going through the same and similar situations to feel that it's all right to report. Do you know I had a female, a woman, come back and say to me, I don't understand. I don't understand you. I don't understand the good Dr. Ford. She was 15. You were 14. Surely you told somebody. I couldn't even wrap my head around that. The fact that I have to explain to another woman why at 14 there's 100 billion reasons why I would not report that tells me that we still ain't there. We ain't ready for prime time. And that's why folks like Kavanaugh are continuing to do what they do. Now, the hero in this whole thing right now, I'm going to tell you, is Senator Flake. Because I sat yesterday and listened to people. They tore his ass up because of that elevator incident. And how can he still come out and say he's in support of this clown, blah, blah, blah? Flake was smart. Because Flake understands how our policies, how our government works. Flake said, not a problem. I'm going to end all this. I'm going to vote him out of committee. That was an easy one. They knew they had to vote. You saw that picture, all white male? Mm-hmm. Here's the catch. I won't vote for him in the full Senate until we do an investigation. Now we got them by the short hairs. So you have to look at all of the angles. And I cannot believe that in 2018, from that woman's post to my post, we are still blaming the victim, blaming the accusers, you know, and taking up for the folks perpetrating these crimes. That's it, my friend.
No, you know what? Hang on, baby, because you're right. And, you know, this is what, and, you know, it's just a common mentality of me, but I rudimentally break it down. And to me, it really pisses me off that in this country you'll get more time for stealing a car than stealing someone's dignity, their pride, their spirit, their reason to live, their belief in themselves, irregardless of what color. You know what? I'll tell you, I was in Saudi Arabia. I spent 3 years over there. And I'm going to tell you, we call these people third world countries and they're heathens and they're this and that. Let me tell you something. You go over to Saudi Arabia if you want to and rape a woman. Go on. Take your ass over there. I dare you. They don't care about your hyphenated name, what color you are, black, white. They don't care. You know what? They got a place right downtown Riyadh, capital of Saudi Arabia. They will cut your head straight off. You can claim diplomatic immunity, and I'm an American. You can claim it from the stump. That's what they're going to do. You go rape a Saudi woman to see what happens to you. Or they're going to have a trial, and it's going to be quick. And when they bring you out there, they're going to take a quart of blood from you to donate to the blood bank, and you stagger up there to that little chopping block, and, yes, they still do it with that sword, and they will do it. Now, you don't believe me? Google it and see. Ask somebody that's been over there. But we call them barbarians. But over here, see, we chop up the women. How dare you step out and accuse him of that? Because his ass did it. That's how. You know, we're worried about, oh, he would never do that. I know him. He would never do that. We play golf together. Well, unless he's gay, you probably didn't have to worry about him trying to bend you over and breech load you on a fishing trip. See, we want to be in love, and we got women and wives. We respect them. We go in. We take these vows, these oaths. I will honor, obey, trust, and all this stuff. And then you come out here, and when somebody does something to your wife, half of you men are cowards. You want to side. with popular opinion, or you want to, well, I don't know, maybe she shouldn't have wore. If any woman is listening to this show right now, 646-716-4621, press 1. I will put you up there because this question has been burning me. If you got some rape gear, if you went out shopping and you told your friends, girl, look, let's go out and get some coffee, let's go get some rape gear. I want something. I want to just go out dressed so fly, man, just pull me in a back alley and violate me against my will, threaten my life because I don't have nothing else to do. I want them to go full 50 Shades of Rage. Ain't no woman out there got that kind of stuff. If they do, they're called prostitutes. And they don't do it to get killed. They do it to attract attention. But the way you would think by how we dismiss their claims in order to hold up these people with titles and positions of favor, you would think that every woman has got a drawer in their dresser with an RG on it, rape gear. I'm tired of dealing with these nice men. I need a little excitement in my life, and I ain't got no Slim Jim, so I'm going to throw on this rape gear and go out. And that's how I was prosecuted in court. Well, if she wouldn't have wore this. Now, we got some men out there that run around in skinny jeans, too skinny, too tight, Air Jordans, 5-6 years old, earrings everywhere, but nobody says anything about them. And they're straight. They're not even gay. Even the gay men will look at them and be like, look at that gear he got on. But nobody says anything. But when a woman is abused, taken advantage of, whether it's in the workplace, and I'm going to tell y'all something. Some of you all, and I can't speak for everybody, but I'll speak for most intelligent, articulate black men. Most black men who are out here selling dope and act crazy and they're doing wrong and they go to jail, they're out there because they're taking care of their families. So there is a sense of family. It may not be by the definition of what America says. And I'm not giving them a pass for their behavior. I'm just saying I recognize why they're out there. You know what? I got a granddaughter. I got a daughter. I got 3 sisters. And I got a wife. Some of us are old school. I was born in 1962. Y'all do the math. My sister just told you. Some of us plan ahead. And see, we go get an orange jumpsuit. We're not afraid to buy a pair of slides. Because some of us are going to come to justice dressed to go. You never know who you're dealing with. And until justice becomes fair across the board, whether it's a white woman, a black woman, an Asian woman, a Hispanic woman, and the poor Asian women and Hispanic women got it worse because in society you would say, well, you know, they're all streetwalkers. They're probably here illegally. That's how they probably got here. And they don't even have a mouthpiece for them. I hope these women join hands across race, ethnicity, and start lighting these folks up and demanding. They ought to be packing these courtrooms. But by the same way, women, when you pack the courtrooms for the righteous cases, when these women come out here and accuse these men falsely of rape, you ought to be packing those courtrooms too because they're hurting your cause. You go ahead, Cynthia. I'm sorry. I cut you off in there. Go ahead.
No, it's perfectly fine. It's because you're speaking the truth. You know, as a woman, and it's hard sometimes to make men understand this, but as a woman, I have to constantly think of everything. I'm getting dressed to go to work. What message, what signal is my wardrobe sending today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have daughters. You know, they're going out. They're going out to a party. Hey, you really want to wear that? What message are you sending? It's unfortunate. We still have to approach this as in, well, you know, you're asking for something to happen. What I really am just really amazed with is when all of these women started reporting as a result of Kavanaugh and started talking about things that had happened to them, we still have men and women questioning. I don't understand why you didn't report. Well, I don't understand. That was something that happened 42 years ago. Why is it causing you problems today? But yet we have other people going to see the therapist because, you know, their dad always gave the other brother a piece of candy and never gave them a piece of candy. And 50 years later, You know, they're pots and cooking them as a result. We have got to come to grips with this. And it was so on point when Jeff Flake said, this country is being torn apart. Now, I want y'all to think about something. We can only go through so many cycles, so many revelations before this thing resets itself. This is Kavanaugh's discussion today. This country is being torn apart. I want y'all to think back. 6 months ago, Black Lives Matter. This country is being torn apart. What was it? 2 months ago when I was on here talking about special treatment for the crazy 2 dozen white people that came here on the metro that morning. This something's coming, guys. Something is coming. Every quarter, it's another, this country is being torn apart, and it's always a different issue. These folks better get right, because in my head, my vision of hell does not show compartments and different levels for different issues. From where I sit, hell is hell. So if it's Black Lives Matter, if it's folks that are, you know, killing black men, you're going to hell. If it's Bill Cosby, he can have all the Jell-O pudding pops he wants. His hell going to be the same as Kavanaugh's hell. And I'm not doing this and saying this from a special, from a religious standpoint, but I'm just saying this to say that we can no longer sit back and assign levels of bad behavior and levels of hell to people. Wrong is wrong. Whether you are Kelly, Bill Clinton, you know, Cosby, Kavanaugh, the crazy you know, sports person that pulled me into the alleyway, it doesn't matter, guys. It's wrong. And until we start treating women as equals and taking care of women's rights and prosecuting, making it supportive for women to report, and then prosecuting these people, we're going to keep talking about, well, his wrong wasn't as bad as her wrong. And, you know, what he did wasn't as bad because. We got to stop that.
And, you know, just an example of how it's changed. When I came here in 93 and I started on the police department here, you know, you get your briefings on the different crimes. When we would hear of a rape or sexual assault or indecency with a child, 9 times out of 10 here where I'm at, it was almost always a white male. Then it transitioned into where it was a Hispanic male or a white male. It was never. You would never. In the 90s, you didn't hear about black males doing that. Now, you don't know what it's going to be. You just don't know, because it has become so socially acceptable, because we put conditions to defend the rapist and condemn the victim. Well, you know, yeah, he held a knife at your throat. Yeah, okay, he did force himself on you, but if you wouldn't have wore those shorts, and people accept that bullshit because they get in that moral church philosophy, well, the Lord wouldn't like her in those clothes. She didn't wear rape gear out there. The Lord might not like you leaving the bank with money, so I guess if you get robbed, well, if she wouldn't have went to the bank. See, that's the thing. You know, until folks get raped or get assaulted or get disrespected, they can't feel it. You brothers who don't want to speak up, and when I say brothers, I'm talking black and white, wait till it's your daughter or your wife or your sister. I bet you'll get in a conversation then.
But, you know, we also do wrong because we try to compartmentalize. We try to determine what level of violation it was. What I mean by that is, you know, the person that said to me, well, I still don't understand. You could have told somebody, you know, tell them what? I was pulled into an alleyway. I was slobbered all over. I was felt up. The bottom line is somebody's going to come back and say, but you weren't raped. And so it's almost like as long as there was no penetration, everything was good. We compartmentalized everything. Everybody had that one uncle, you know. We all had that one uncle that they kept the kids away from. The problem is those kinds of behaviors start not when you're grown, like Bill Cosby, Kavanaugh, they start when you're a child. We need to watch. Where do we let our children go? You know, my girls, oh, my God, they used to go crazy because if they want to go to the party, all right, I'm picking you up at midnight. You better be on the porch at midnight because if you're not, I'm getting out the car and coming and knocking on the door. And when I take you to the party and drop you off, I'm knocking on the door because I need to know who lives inside that house, what uncles come and go inside that house.
Right. That's
you
right.
don't want me to come and pick you up. I come and pick you up at midnight. If I have to get out the car, I'm getting out the car. No bra, hair standing on, in pajama pants on, T-shirt. You don't want me coming knock on that door. But we don't watch our children. We have to be continually vigilant. Who's in the house? My kids couldn't go to sleepovers. Why? I don't know. I know who lives there. I don't know who else is coming and going. I have a grandson. He goes to Taekwondo. Don't think I'm not in the window. Taekwondo master's a great person, but until I'm secure with what's going on, no. I'm telling you guys, these things are happening and they're real. And they're not all happening to grown women. You know, we have to have these conversations, no matter how difficult they are, with our young people. Because just like I never told a soul, and people are amazed that no one ever knew, if you don't make it comfortable for your children to have those kinds of discussions with you, this is going to continue to be hashtag why I didn't report.
Right, but, you know, Cynthia, you're right. I didn't know just the fact that I'm here, because if I'd have known, y'all would have been talking to me from Brushy Mountain somewhere. But, see, here's another aspect of it, too. And this is where it goes into the media. When we have these incidents of missing children, not Nakia, not Shaquana, not Rebecca. See, we're still looking for Natalie Holloway's body in Aruba. I'm sorry what happened to her, but it's been 20 years. I'm not saying let's forget it. That's her parents' deal. We got missing children, but see, when a blonde-haired, blue-eyed child is missing in America, it's all over the news, 24/7. You would think that was the only person that got kidnapped, period. But when these little black kids are missing from Detroit and Chicago, we don't hear anything about it. Not just from the media, but even the churches and the flyers. So when we get into
we're immune to it.
We're immune to it. But that's because our leaders, we don't have that outcry. You know, it's a sad dog that doesn't wag its own tail. And to me, all lives are important, but I just feel like when you walk into Walmart and you got to look at a wall that even looks worse than the sales of all these missing kids, and you look up there and see there's just as many black kids missing as white kids missing as Hispanic, as Asian, and then you go out here and listen to the media, and you would think in this country that nobody is missing but little blonde-haired, blue-eyed children with hyphenated names and big bank accounts. And the full force of the United States government and the FBI and everybody going to Aruba, and we'll throw all this money into finding that child. I'm not saying that child's not worth it. I'm saying, what about the poor kid? Because even those poor white women that were held up in a basement for years to that one black guy freed them, they weren't concerned about them because it's economics. That's the problem with this country. We throw people away.
But aside from the economics, I'm telling you guys, there's an educational aspect here. When I have to sign a piece of paper when the child goes to fifth grade to say that it's okay to have sex education discussion. And I remember clear as a bell, fifth grade, I remember watching Jimmy the Cricket talk about getting your period. What the hell does Jimmy the Cricket have to do with a female period? Nothing.
As much as Congress holds hearings on sexual offenses.
I look back at that and I'm like, that was ludicrous. But what we do need to educate our children on is what is wrong. You know, I taught the grandson and the daughter from the time that they could think, if anyone touches you on the parts of your body that your bathing suit covers, you come and tell me. Come and tell your dad. We have got to start the conversations and the education early, because if we don't, two things happen. One, sexual perpetrators will continue to perpetrate. They will continue to do what they do because it won't be reported. And two, we have not given our kids the ammunition and weapons that they need to say, hey, this is wrong, and I need to tell somebody. I need to scream. I need to do whatever. We talk a good game, you know, this whole Kavanaugh thing, but we're still not doing what we need to do to make it right and to stop it from happening. You know, I only wish, you know, like I said, 30 years in the Army, go ahead, dude. Pull me up in that alleyway now, because you may weigh twice what I weigh, but you're going to let me out because I'm going to leave some important parts behind. You know, or else they're going to be so badly damaged, you ain't going to use them again. But that's a far cry today from what I knew to do 14 years ago. Hell, I couldn't even holler in that little alleyway with brick walls on either side. No one would have heard me. And we all know Minnie Mosey lived next door. She was probably asleep by then. You know, who knew, who thought, if I had been in my right mind, I would have walked down the other side of the street against the playground where it was open and lit. Who at 14 thinks about that? But again, we need to educate our children, unfortunately, so that they do think at 14, at 6:30 in the evening, ooh, I can't walk over there because there's alleyways. It's dark. This is a community issue. It's not just a what the legislation didn't do. This is a community issue. We have to take charge and educate our young people. And if we don't, we're just as much at fault.
True. And you know what? And I can tell you some of it, too. You know, with a lot of cities have curfews. And people just say, I don't like curfews that people ought to be able to do. I'm sorry. Your 14-year-old don't need to be out at 3 in the morning, period, point blank. But be that as it may, you know, officers out here now, we had a curfew here. And it was very effective. Our car burglaries went down because kids know if you were young and you were out, we were going to stop you. That means we caught a lot of runaways that needed to be returned home. We caught some burglars. We caught some kids whose parents didn't even know they were out the house. Little girls sneaking to little boys' houses or whatever. Well, for whatever reason, these people here voted to get rid of the curfew. Now, I'm out here, and you know, 25 years of night shift, I'm out here riding around, and I'm looking at 14, 15-year-olds sashaying up and down the street. And people say, why don't you stop them and find out what they're up to? Boom, 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 boom. No.
You can't.
Especially legally. Because as soon as you do that, the parents are blowing up the phone, making a complaint. Why are you hassling my kid? They got a right to be out. There ain't no curfew. I want to file a complaint. A lot of officers say, you know what? I don't need the headache. They're not going to get up and get them. I stop 13, 14-year-olds. You call the parents, go come get your kid. Can't you bring them home? I'm not Uber. Why don't you know they're there? And in the meantime, you hear the club music playing in the background at 2:15. And then when you take them home, there's nobody there.
Nobody to give them to. I got to tell you, though, I'm also very, very troubled that we're returning to that mindset of it's always the accuser's fault. You know, we hear those things like, well, you know, aside from what did you wear, why were you out, all of those things, they keep coming back to, well, why didn't you tell somebody? You could have told your pastor, your teacher, your counselor, your parent. There's always somebody you can tell. Yet again, we're putting the onus for this back on the accuser. And I got to tell you, when it comes to young people, when it comes to, you know, Dr. Ford at 15 years old, when it comes to young people and saying you could have, you could have, you could have, there's a whole lot of could have. But we don't always get the memo. She probably had a better chance of getting the memo than I did, 14 years old, African-American, and in the hood. But the bottom line is we never got the memo that the code had changed, the information had changed. Education, and I've never heard anybody address this part of it this whole week. Education is a huge part of this, because until we send the memo out and educate everyone that this is wrong, it's going to continue to happen. And, yeah, let me let you know one other thing. I got my pink pea hat, and I knitted it myself, and I wore it. And guess what? I guess I'll be putting it on again next week.
There you go. But I mean, you know, you're right. Education is right, and it's the way to go. But until we first understand, we got to get out of this culture of fear, distraction, where everybody's distracted all over the place. Your MS-13 is doing this. MS-13 is not responsible for all the hell in this country, period. But you got a bunch of folks that call themselves responsible voters and people of knowledge that are running around worried about MS-13, and they don't see the Americans here that are doing 90% of the shit that we're dealing with. But we want to clean up all the foreigners that we accuse of doing it and disregard the 90% that live right next door to us. MS-13 is not doing near, I'm not saying their clans are clean, but they're not doing near the amount of these rapes and drug sales as Americans are doing. See, we're trying to put out fires out in the shed and the damn kitchen's on fire, and guess what? The front door's smoking too. And we're going to burn down in the house because nobody got enough common sense to say we got to get out to the fire. We want to fight before we can do anything. But that's
right.
Where we are.
My accuser,
Michael, scare tactics and optics.
Because the individual in my case, he sat two desks away from me in fourth grade. We went to elementary school together. We went to junior high school together. He frequented the houses of some folks that lived on my street. So this was not a case of somebody foreign or far away or some intruder coming in to do something. That, you know, if this person was right inside the nest, inside the hive. But again, we're not going to police our own area. We're too busy looking outside to solve the bigger problem, the
right.
bigger picture,
it's right
and
on the
eaten alive internally.
Mm-hmm. Let me hold on for 1 second. Let me get this other caller in here from the 254 area code right down here, 6970. Good morning. You're behind the blue curtain. How are you?
Hey, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's up?
Well, I was just calling to talk about the other side of the fact that I agree with everything that y'all have been talking about this morning, but I also wanted to address how the law and policies and protocols by companies and mostly almost every kind of professional standard thing is not even in place to protect people from sexual assault or sexual mm-hmm. harassment. I mean, we all go through the HR spiel when you get hired somewhere about what you're not supposed to do. But when actual situations go down and happen, those things are not there in place to protect victims. And
right.
everybody asks, why don't they tell? Well, why don't they tell? Well, the real answer is that they don't tell because there's no real incentive for them to tell. There's more reasons not to tell than to report. And when you think about that, when you think about your daughter or your wife, or we can even throw our sons into this, and they're in a situation where they have been sexually assaulted, attacked, groped, or sexually intimidated at work or at school, the protocols in place that are to protect them are actually there to work against them.
Yep.
And so
yep.
I say this because I speak from personal experience. You know, I'm not here to talk about my whole life, but I've been in situations where, guess what, there's red flags and you know people come around you that they're no good and they're not in your best interest. So I'm going to need you to do me a favor. Please don't touch me. People who do not have boundaries do not know how to abide by other people who do have boundaries. And so when a sexual predator is near you and you have a firm boundary in place, they are going to try to test it more times than not. And so from a professional standpoint, I was in an experience where I was in a corner and I had a male coworker that kept on touching me on my shoulders. And I looked at him and I said, is there any reason why you're touching me right now? Because we're at work. This isn't that kind of job. We're in a medical field. I'm in the medical field.
Right.
Why are you touching me like that? He said, he laughed. He thought I was playing. And I said point blank, hey, I'm not playing with you. Could you please stop touching me like that? I don't want your hands on my shoulders or on my back. I didn't even know him that well. I was a contracted employee, and we had not had any type of interaction where he would even have known to be friendly with me like that, you know? Mm. And so anyway, he touches me again, and I said, bro, seriously. And of course, now I'm not using my professional voice anymore. Don't touch me. Stop touching me. And he tries to do it again, and I drop my shoulder, and I said, I'm going to tell you one more time. You're making me uncomfortable. I don't like it. You try to touch me again, you're going to have some problems. And he did it again, and I popped him in the throat, and we started tussling. And
you're fine.
And
he was in the right place.
Huh?
He was in the right place? If he was messing with you?
Well, no. Well, I wasn't really trying to fight him, but he tried to put me into a headlock. And this dude, I'm like 5 foot one, 150 pounds. He's like 6 foot, 240 pounds. Dude, you try to. So we were tussling. Anyway, long story short, Stan, I made my report. I ended up having like multiple marks on my face and scratches from him. My hair was everywhere. We were very busy at the time. And I finally was able to go make a report about 2 hours later, made my report. About an hour later, I get escorted off the premises.
What?
I get escorted off the premises, and my contract is terminated. And it took me until it happened like in the middle of the week. It took me to a whole week later for me to even get an answer from this company about what my status was as far as employment was concerned. And I lost about $6,000 on that contract. I had about 8 weeks left on it. And I did try to pursue a suit against the company based on discrimination laws, sexual discrimination, gender discrimination, sexual, and not protecting their employees. But in the end, the federal government said they couldn't build a case against the company. And mind you, it's a major, big, big health care corporate. It's a big healthcare network. And I could have civilly pursued the guy that caused the whole situation, but I wasn't going to spend my money trying to go after that to get pennies on the dollars for the effort and time it took for me to get my so-called justice.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Let me ask you something real quick, because I'm loving sure. what you say. I'm just curious about this. You know, I'm old school. So N-word, to me, I don't like hearing it. I don't care rap music or whatever. I just don't like hearing it. It grates me the wrong way. I'm not going to get into the argument with people of, well, it's with an A at the end or E-R. I just don't like it. Now, that being said,
right.
Another word that aggravates me when I hear women say it, even as a term of endearment or whatever, I'm a bitch. I can be a real bitch. Bitch is the N-word, the trigger word by which they keep women silent, because a lot of women, especially in the work environment, surrender to this conduct and don't act on it because they're afraid that the guy's going to walk away and go, she's a bitch. And that gets around the office.
True.
It becomes a handcuffing word. So when I hear women use that term as endearment, I'm looking at them much like when I hear black people use the N-word, and I'm like, don't bring it here. You know, and I mean, that's just me. So when I hear women use that word, I'm going, that's the word by which allows you to be in a position to be taken advantage of or flirted with or just some type of disorderly conduct, because you don't want to be known as the bitch in the office. She's a bitch.
You're hitting the nail right on the head. I mean, not to you know, get off topic here, but, you know, every woman in this country, especially a woman in a – I work now in a corporate office, and I have a very great job now, and I'm happy to be there. But, in you know, we have to work so hard to make sure that not only our voices and our body language and when we have an idea or when we disagree with, you know, something that's going on, I got to put some work in to make sure that you don't sound like a bitch, that you don't sound like you're being emotional, or you got to sound like you're not being hysterical. I mean, there's things are stacked up. I mean, I'm not here to say that there's not good things. There's plenty of them. But I'm saying in this area, when it comes to women's conduct and behavior, there's a lot of things that are stacked up against us.
How do you function? How do you not lose your damn mind? I watch my wife put on her makeup when she goes out, and, you know, that stuff takes time. Man, we shave, shower, get the hair right, bam, we're out the door. But, I mean, now you got to put your makeup on and worry about how different people may see your makeup. Then you got to pick an outfit. You got to wonder how different people who don't work with, who you might pass. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Well, I would tell you, Stan, speaking to all the women listening right now, because at the end of the day, the thing that matters is how we feel about ourselves. And
exactly.
Going back to the situation I described, you know, I didn't get so-called justice. I was done wrong. But you know what? At the end of the day, I pursued it. I reported it. I defended myself. I told that dude not to touch me. I defended myself. He probably will never do that again to any other woman in any workplace ever. And so
yeah,
for that,
to do that.
For that, for knowing that I at least stood up for myself, I try to remedy it. I try to get my justice, and I can look at myself in the mirror and say I respect myself because I respect my boundaries. I respect my body, and I'm not going to let someone come in and terrorize my life. When I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror to look good for myself. And when I go to work,
you're going
to
lay in that box by yourself. When you're done breathing, you're going to lay down by yourself. And if you try to be everything everybody wants you to be, you're going to look in the mirror when it's all sagging, bagging, and the bills you can't afford to pay for the surgery no more, and you're going to say, who the hell am I? Because you're not going to recognize yourself. That's straight up.
And then,
ain't nobody perfect
right
here.
No. If you walk your life with integrity, being knowing that you need to be good to others around you, being a service to others, that's how you find your self-worth. But, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people walking around that aren't able to do that. They haven't been able to do that. They haven't been able to tackle their demons. And on the topic of sexual assault, for that, there's a lot of women who still to this day, watching all of this stuff unfold with the Kavanaugh situation and name them all, Harvey Weinstein, Cosby, all of them. They watch it and they just go back to their trauma. They are victimized again, over and over and over again. Now, there is something to say to that. If you're in that situation, you need to go find someone to talk to, no matter how long ago it happened, and you need to find some healing, not for them, but for you. Forgiveness is not for the person that hurt you, it's for you. You know? And so to everyone out there who has been in that situation, you have to be okay with you, so go get the help you need, go talk to whoever you need to talk to, and get you some peace in your life for you, not for them.
All right, dear. Well, I tell you what, I want you to hold on because right now we're at what I call the barbershop period. That's where everybody just called in. I go back down through the lines, and everybody is going to get 1 minute to talk about anything they want on any topic they want, any subject they want. You know, this is if you want to audition for, I don't know, if you can sing, throw a bar out there. But we're going to go all the way down the line, everybody. I'm going to start in 804 with Big Gus. 1 minute, brother. Anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, I just want to say what an excellent commentary by the lady. I enjoyed it, and you learned some things too. But there's a far deeper issue, Stan. I think that it's the way in general, not you and I per se, but it's the way men treat women.
Exactly.
And it's the way men believe women when they have a complaint. I don't think their complaints should be just swept under the rug. I think they should be looked into. Now, I mean, and investigate it as much as possible because you don't want an innocent man, you know, going to jail or being scrutinized for something he didn't do.
But on the other hand, you don't want a woman to make a complaint and everybody's laughing at her and saying that it didn't happen. So, yes, I think the main issue is we have to, as a whole, we have to respect women and take their complaints and their concerns really seriously. And I want to say, what a great show today, man. And I think I wish all the brothers, would, you know, white guys too, I wish all the brothers could have listened to the show and hear some of the complaints and some of the things that, you know, and some of the women's issues and the concerns, man, and maybe we would look at their situations a little differently, you know, next time we came upon it. So thank you so much, man.
All right, thank brother, you so much. I appreciate you, man, as always. And we'll holler at you next week going down to 301. Big Sis, what's going on? 1 minute. Anything you want to talk about?
I'm going to take my last minute here and say that my number one thing is we have to vote. Please, get yourself registered. Midterm elections, you have to vote. As I said earlier, this is a lot, and it's something cyclical every 6 months. But remember when Obama won that first election? A change is going to come. A change is here, but only if we vote. And my last piece is, no matter when it happened to you, how long ago it happened to you, go ahead and report, state it, get it out of your spirit, and you'll be all the better for it. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
All right, Big Sis. I love you. Be good. We'll holler at you. All right, going down to 254 area code, 6970.
Hey.
1 minute. Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm going to support her as well and let everyone know that you do. If you don't like what's going on, the only way it changes is if we change the leadership in our who are leading us. And I want them to know that their vote actually counts more in midterm elections and the city official elections that go on within your neighborhood that directly affect your community. And so I need y'all to go vote. I need y'all to go register and vote. If you are 18 and you can vote, go vote. And in fact, if you have a felony record and it's over 5 years old, you can vote too. A lot of people don't know that. And so make sure you go get registered to vote. And if you can ever, try to see if you can volunteer for any elected government officials, election campaign. Get in there. See what it's like. It's actually pretty cool.
Learn.
You know,
learn
I'm up here
it.
For
Amen.
A month now. And I'm volunteering on a campaign. I don't want to get political on your show. But, you know,
who you volunteer for? That's all right. Don't worry about it. I'll pay for this. Who you volunteer for?
For
give
Beto.
Michelle. Oh, yeah. Give Michelle.
For
out.
Beto. Yeah. Our current representation just isn't cutting the mustard. And if you ask me, the sheep in wool and sheep clothing. But anyway, I think that people need to understand. Oh, and also, Sam, I don't know how much time I have. I'm going to implore everybody right now. I used to hate jury duty.
Get your cramp.
But now,
take
I
your time.
Now I want to serve on a jury. And the reason I want to serve on a jury is so that when these police officers and people who are damming into people's other apartments and shooting them, I want to be on that jury to speak for these victims that don't have no one on the jury pool that looks like them or has had the same experiences as them so that I can be an advocate on this jury of their peers to give them a voice to help them find justice.
Well, you found the right show, that's for sure. You keep on, you're going to be getting some of them emails and texts I get.
That's okay. That's okay.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
up here
yeah,
we have rallies.
Good,
yeah. We have a rally. Bob and Don. Yeah, we're up here having rallies. You know. Thank goodness they fired her, but nonetheless, that's not the end of it, though. Definitely not the end.
Well, you need to keep an eye on that because, you know, there was another one up there in Mesquite that I looked at, same type of circumstances I looked at earlier, and that one ended up in a hung jury. So I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to have people, well, you trying to predict the trial. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it right here, right now, I'm going to be shocked if it's not a hung jury. That's just me.
Well, they I can tell you right now, Stan, that up here, they're getting it together to pressure Faith Johnson to make sure that that trial goes back to trial. They try him again.
Good. But I can guarantee.
The scenes,
I can't guarantee. But the first trial, I'm thinking, just looking at how jacked up it was, how things were done, hung jury. But we'll see.
Yes.
But
you're right. You're absolutely right. But all we can do is keep making a fuss.
Yeah, and you in the right place. Keep calling in. You're getting earlier and earlier. You're doing it the right way. Appreciate you. And I'm going to go down to the last one, my ace, 203, Big T, TKD. What's going on, brother?
Great show. I'm glad to hear the voices of our women. I just want to say we got to keep mindful of our historical duties and knowing that we haven't been that far out of this, what I call the gutter. And the gutter, one of those things is, it's only been since 1920 since even women, American women, had the right even to vote. So when they talk so highly about this Constitution, just remember the founding felons had, there was no women on that board, so to speak. That was all men. And the way they viewed women back then, that's why it took over a century, go look it up, of protests for women finally to get the opportunity, the right to vote. So women have always, in this system, see, this is another form of bias and discrimination and prejudice. There's a certain sectality, a monster set, not a mindset, that the women have been suppressed within this system. So they've been telling and saying and teaching and preaching and writing and narrating these things about women that are simply not true, suppressing her, meanwhile elevating men. Though this system was built on the foundation of England, which that is a matriarch system that's based on the queen. They came over here and set a patriotic system, suppress the women. They come to power, and it shows people who do have power their true character, regardless what their, what you call race or political party, or it shows their true character. And I have to agree with your sister that spoke earlier when she talked about there is no comeback for trying to uphold people's titles and offices and positions when they hide behind those positions and titles and offices to use it to emasculate, to discriminate, to violate other human beings. Instead, we got to hold up the principles, the values, the morals, the ethics, the integrity, and the standards by which we live, which is freedom.
All right, brother, that was deep. I appreciate it. Once again, everybody, thank you guys for tuning in to Facebook Live crew. They sitting over on the side. Like I said, they hold a whole other sideshow over there, and I owe them a lot of praise, a lot of respect. I mean, these people, I could come on like I did this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning here in Texas, and they're up. They'll pop on. Well, he might have something to say, you know, something important, and they follow me and support me. They're probably one of the few reasons that I don't get as much flack as I get about what I do. So I appreciate them, and I love them for always sticking by me and support me. And anything that I ever do, you know, out there, whether it's act of kindness, it's coming from the show. It's not about me. It's coming from us. Because that's how we all grow this together. We all move this together. Somewhere people got to be able to vent. Somewhere people got to be able to say how they feel sometime to the world. And see, that's what I love about here, because you're not talking to your local. When you come on here, you're talking to the world. We're in the U.S. and 5 foreign countries. And truth is truth. And, you know, sometimes you just got to light folks' asses up. You get tired of trying to discuss and trying to articulate and trying to be cordial. Sometimes you got to put it like it is. This show is not doilies and folded napkins. We have no teacups in here. Everybody's drinking out of styrofoam, and we're eating off of paper plates, because I'm going to make sure ain't nothing going to get broken used as a weapon. Because in here, you got to have real dialogue to have real discussion. And from the Facebook people to the people that call in and say how they feel, you know what? That takes courage. Because for all of my critics and naysayers who go to the side pages and you want to light me up over there, don't think I don't know. I see it. Go on and do it, because you know what? I got real folks up here that ain't afraid to use their phone and call up. They don't have to agree with me. They can call up and teach me. So you wonder why I got nothing but a side hand and a side eye for you? Because it's just like that. Because on here, we're trying to move the agenda forward. We're trying to make the omelet that everybody can eat. But you know what? You got to break the shell and beat the eggs to do it. But when that omelet comes out, guess what? That omelet is all colors, all of them. The yolk doesn't dominate the white. The white doesn't dominate the yolk. And no matter how good we think we got it, we're going to put something on it to make it better. So that's what we do here. I appreciate everybody that tuned in, my big sister for calling in, because, you know, when she posted that post, I didn't know that. And I wasn't going to call her and tell her to call in. This wasn't about, you know, me switching the topic because of what she posted. It was about me switching the topic because, to me, I want to be real and on point and factual and on a heartbeat. We can talk about police training another time. That's not like it's something that we all know isn't working. We deal with that later. But we need to deal with this up here and vent some real truth so that some of these folks who don't want to call up or scared to tune in or want to listen from afar or may download later can hear real people talking about real issues. Love you guys. Appreciate all you guys for tuning in. We're going to get ready to get out of here. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in this morning. That was a good family, you know. They're good to go. They'll make it, you know. We got Passover.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind blue curtain.